The races that we have in our congressional and U.S. Senate seats right now are as every bit as important to our daily lives as anything that goes towards the White House. I suggest that we really have to have all three. If we're gonna recover, if we're gonna get some things rectified from what we just went through for the last 4 years, the only way that's gonna happen is for us to secure all three. And I just went through the stats with you. There are toss-ups everywhere right now. And the margins of error are too small. But right now, one of the most competitive races in the nation, running within its margin of error, so to speak, is right here in Alabama. And, you know, he picked, oh, it's red state Alabama, Phil. Red state Alabama, what could go wrong? Well, I got news. Democrats got their way, and they had a new Alabama district, Congressional District 2, drawn. And we have a Republican, though, that is just beating the bushes, shaking the hands, kissing the babies, and doing all the things it takes. And she is right now running a close race to be the Republican congressional representative from Alabama's District 2, Caroline Dobson, on the phone right now. Caroline, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And listen, just having run for a state Senate race, I just know how exhausting it is. And that was only four counties. You've got like a third of the state, it feels like, with your new district. And you're running it like a scalded dog, though, from what I can see.
Yeah, that's the only way to run it. And regardless the size of the race, I think on some of the smaller races, it's just as challenging because, you technically could actually try to meet everyone in those four counties. So I have so much appreciation in running for office. Not that I didn't already, but I have a newfound sense of appreciation for city council member races and county commission races, school board. It's all so, so important. But this race is incredibly important and crucial, not just to the continued success of Alabama and sending folks to Washington that are going to fight for Alabamians, but also when it comes to the future of our country. And if we don't maintain control of the House, if we don't increase our majority in the House, it could mean the difference between whether we actually get our economy back on track, whether we secure our borders, and whether we fully and finally stop the woke ideology nonsense that the left is trying to indoctrinate our youngest generation with.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I got to say, I'll step back from policy just for a minute, even though I think policy is what we've got to start looking more at. But I also know, too, that running a race like you're doing right now becomes a very personal issue. You're actually hanging yourself out there for the world to see and approve of. You're having to run on steam, basically, and get as much as you can done and meet as many people as you can. And there's a feeling that there's always one more hand to shake. But tell us about that. You've been beating the bushes. How many counties are actually in your district?
There are 13 counties.
Wow.
So two of those are partial counties, but yes, 13 counties. And there's a lot of diversity in the counties, some big cities, small towns, lots of rural areas. But, what I really have appreciated, though, is what we do have in common. And the message is consistent with folks that I speak with, regardless of what parties they characterize themselves as. We want our communities to be safer, and we want more opportunities for our kids. And so I'm running to fight for Alabama families, and that rallying cry has certainly resonated with folks across the district because we're frankly tired of Washington insiders continuing to spend recklessly and to fund Washington instead of focusing on the needs in real America. And this race, it's very clear that's a very stark choice because my opponent is not another Alabama Democrat. He spent his entire adult career in Washington. He started leasing an apartment in the district 2 days before the filing deadline.
Wow. Yeah.
He is very much a product of Washington and, big dark money PACs spent close to $3 million on him in the primary and runoff. He is the Washington pick, and here is a chance for Alabamians, again, Republican, but also some Democrat, to say, look, we don't want more of the same. We want change, and we want folks that are focused on delivering results.
Well, I think, one of the things that I noticed, too, when I look at your race is there was a lot of talk when that district was drawn that it was drawn to benefit the Democrats. And yet he is not pulling away. That's the thing that really strikes me, is he's plateaued. He is not pulling away. And your race, depending upon which poll you look at right now, you guys are running pretty much within the margin of error on most of the polls. Am I right?
We have not. Our campaign has not done any polling recently. So kind of what we're hearing are different flash polls, different news. But yes, from what we're hearing from other folks, we're planning to go out in the field in the next couple of weeks to kind of get a final assessment of the situation. But yes, what we're hearing from other sources is that it's very neck and neck. And also, again, I think in this political climate we're in, most folks say that Republicans are underperforming in polls, versus the reality of what Election Day looks like. So there is no room for complacency by any means, and we are absolutely the underdog. But we feel confident, and I feel, again, led to fight this fight and try to deliver a better day for folks in South Alabama.
Well, let me ask you this, too, with the few minutes that we have here. He has not gotten on stage with you very many times, but y'all did just have what I think about a week ago. Didn't you have one that was hosted in Montgomery, Montgomery Area Chamber of Commerce, hosted a forum with the two of you on stage together. And I'm curious, was there any question at all about the immigration policies that we're seeing and the effect it's having on even small towns in Alabama? Did he address those issues? How did that go?
Yes. Well, there wasn't a direct question about that, but when you're talking about the strain on resources, the strain on rural hospitals, rural health care is certainly a big issue in this district. And part of the problem is, the influx of non-taxpayers that are seeking medical services and don't have any way to pay for it. The economy, of course, we've seen a strain on just our resources in general. This particular debate was right before the devastation of Hurricane Helene and the fact that Mayorkas says we don't have any money because we've spent it on non-taxpayers. But no, when pressed, he just wants to say that he's been to the border and that the border isn't an issue that voters care about, which shows to me that he hasn't been out in these communities, because people in this district, again, regardless of the party, are very concerned about the border, have had friends and family members who have perished due to fentanyl overdose. My own godbrother in Montgomery died of a fentanyl overdose.
Oh, wow.
80-90% of the fentanyl precursors are made in China. They cannot be legally imported, so they are coming through the southern border. That is the way that they're getting into our country. So the 100,000 Americans that died of fentanyl overdose, you can link that directly to the policies of the Biden-Harris administration and really, truly the Biden transition team who decided to open the border. My opponent was part of that team. He has some culpability in this.
I would agree. Let me ask you one other thing, too. I saw on social media you were at a recent, I think it was Young Republicans or maybe it was YAF, I'm not sure, but you were at a gathering. And one of the things that I really noticed, aside from the fact that you were there, was, I hate to use the word diversity because it's so abused by liberals right now, but the diversity of the group. I mean, there's young black guys and girls and white and basically pretty running the gamut in terms of representation of the demographics. And I would say that your district is one of those. Your district is like that a lot. And I'm wondering what you're seeing in terms of the stereotypes that the black vote is only for Democrats. I don't think that's the case anymore, and I wonder what you're seeing in the field.
No, and it's insulting to black voters. And that's why, this district was created to have a higher black voting age population. Roughly 2 in 7 Alabamians is black. And so the premise of this district creation was that 2 in 7 congressional districts would be either majority or have a higher black voting age population. And so immediately the mainstream media and Democrats jumped on that as saying, oh, that means that's another Democrat seat. But I'm very, very grateful and honored to be endorsed by the minority GOP party of Alabama. And yes, the Young Republicans represent a cross-section of backgrounds, ethnicities, professions. But it's young people who realize that unless we do something and turn this country around, the state of the world is in jeopardy. And also just, young people recognizing that they're not going to be able to purchase a home. They're not going to be able to provide their children the same quality of life that they grew up. I mean, we all hope to provide our children better than what we had growing up. And now the goal really for a lot of folks, we're worried about just being able to provide them what we had. So it's a very real concern. And a lot of young people, again, throughout the state are recognizing that. And again, combating the narrative that, that, you know, if you look a certain way, you have to be a Democrat.
Well, I think that your race is one of those that I think it's one of the most underreported races in the nation in the big picture, not in your area. But I look at it, it's a classic. It's a brand new district. Neither one of you are incumbents. You've got a black Democrat and a white Republican running neck and neck on a good race. And it's also one that can balance the make a difference in the balance of power in the House. And so we're going to be watching you close for the next 30 days. Just run like a scalded dog, Caroline Dobson. Just run like
yes,
a scalded dog.
Will do. I'm so grateful for your support, grateful to have a fantastic campaign team and for the support of the National Party. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer was actually in the state yesterday on to help pump up the troops and raise money on my behalf. So I'm very grateful for the support of the National Party as well.
Well, if folks want to know more about you, where can they find out?
Yes, you can check out DobsonForCongress.com. That's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, Congress.com. And you can find out, you know, how to phone bank, door knock, poll watch. We have all sorts of volunteer opportunities. Or if you just want to, you know, send a link to your friends in District 2, we'd certainly appreciate it. We have the votes to win, but only if everyone gets out to vote.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Caroline Dobson, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, take care. All right, you guys, we're going to a break right now, but I'll be honest with you. If you have friends, family, associates, colleagues, Facebook friends, social media warriors, whatever, they live down in AL District 2, tell them, vote. This could be one that makes a difference on the national scale. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.